Cups, about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in. That's a winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Manchester United 6, Roma 2. How about that scoreline? It was a tale of two halves. Bit of bad luck in the first, but United responded well with a massive second half. Sir, on our way to our first final for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, how are you feeling?
Cavani, Pogba, Bruno, Greenwood, absolute magic up front for Manchester United. I mean, sir, the El Matador. He's coming into form at the right time of the season. United playing lights out. Look, the first half. What first half? Never watching that again. Will never be seen again, sir. All I'm focusing on is the second half. Look at that attacking play for Manchester United. You know, defense, could do a little better there. You know, I think seeing Mkhitaryan slices open and the clown Dzeko score, you don't like to see that penalty. I mean, what do you mean? But, you know, all in all, great day for Manchester United. Putting a stamp on it. Not quite 7-1. We're going to the final. It's done, dude. Roma, who are you? Seventh place Serie A. Let's go. On to the final, sir. Hans and Franz forever, baby.
Hans and Franz forever, indeed. I'll tell you what. They were putting out anti-Ole signs in front of the Roma training ground. I think they got the United boys pumped up, but it was such a huge performance. They came out well, actually. Scored a great goal. And then penalty. Gets sliced open kind of on the counter. But either way, hell of a halftime speech. People were calling for the subs. No subs necessary, sir, but what a masterclass in the second half. Hard to call a man of the match, and that's what you want. It's like between Pogba, Bruno, and Cavani, they all played lights out. Getting hot just at the right time, sir, but like you said, we need Mr. Eddie Cavani to stay. Please stay. I didn't think I'd be saying that when I found out we signed him at the end of the summer, but right now, he is an integral part of this team.
It all comes together with Cavani at number 9. I mean, you know, you could put Rashford at number 9. You could put Martial at number 9. You could put a lot of people there. But, like, having that focal point, especially when you look at that first goal, the touch to Bruno, also Pogba, Bruno working off each other in the middle of the park. I mean, that first goal says it all. Pogba, Cavani, Bruno, and then Bruno with the finish. I mean, it's just like, oh, it's magic, baby. It's magic.
It was magic, and you know that's why going into halftime down, sir, you felt a little gutted because you know you didn't think they played that poorly. Roma certainly came out to play, but I'm so happy that the boys responded the way they did. You know, you could tell how much it meant to them. They were going for it, like classic United style, turning the screws, which is honestly, it's such a relief to see for a lot of Manchester United fans. Wish there were fans at Old Trafford. They would have enjoyed the show today. They might have gotten 7. Often score 6, seldom score 10. That is what they say about us United players and fans. But what a game. What a performance. Now it's on to the Scouse Bastards on the weekend.
A little inside podcast baseball here. You know, during a match like midweek, you know, I'll try to call Alex like maybe a little before halftime. This game, he's not answering. Whenever it's not going, he wants to skip the combo, you know, just because he knows it's just going to be like, oh, this team. You know, I think I texted you like this team just killing me. You start great. They peg 2 back. Roma like Dzeko, Mkhitaryan, Small, and everyone trolling us hard. And then who could have saw that fight back in the second half? That was a complete 180. I think the Roma injuries in the first half contributed to it a little bit because they got like a little fatigued, but United putting them to the sword. And that is what you like to see. We're seeing glimpses of that attack mentality, give one to get one, and just like keep, like Ole said on the sideline, keep the tempo up, let's go. And like Greenwood coming on, finishing off. We almost saw 7. Wish we would have saw 7, sir. But, you know, European night, Old Trafford, instant classic.
Instant classic indeed. You can sit down, watch that second half, those 45 minutes, some popcorn, and enjoy yourself, sir. Maybe a Guinness as well. I'm having one tonight in the pod room, enjoying myself, toasting to the boys, because it was the Showtime Reds. It was like what we've all been waiting for. We've seen glimpses of it, but just free-flowing, free-scoring, and everybody looking confident. Gotta keep Paul Pogba and Cavani around. Come on, give them all the money they want. Because if we keep those two players around, strengthen a little bit, this team is going places.
You said it right there. Those two players. I mean, it got to the point where the United players, like, we play Granada. It didn't even look that good, you know. Granada actually beat Barcelona today. Unbelievable La Liga title race. Shout out to La Liga. A little more exciting than the EPL at the moment. But, you know, it's like when everyone's greedy, when Bruno's taking long shots, it's like 5-2. Cavani's trying to do the overhead kick when he doesn't need to. It's like people are trying to pad the stats. That's Manchester United of old, where you're like, you think we would lay off a little bit. Nope, we're going for 6. We're going for 7. We're going for 8. I love that feeling as a Manchester United fan. And we didn't really see it too much. We saw it against Leeds this season. But that up front, the greed from Bruno, Cavani, Pogba wanting to get in the mix. You just love it when everyone's sharing the love. Let's beat them up. Beat them up.
Let's beat them up indeed, sir. I like you pointed it out. Ole, keep the tempo up. And they certainly did. They didn't let off to the very end. You knew Mason wanted to come on and get his goal as well. So it's a statement game for this side. You know, this isn't the Champions League. It's not 7-1 in front of a packed OT. I rewatched those highlights there. What a game that was. But this is some great football that they played. A lot of great goals scored and a great response to going down at halftime, you know, with a deficit. So credit to the boys. Credit to Ole getting a response. We don't always see it, but we saw it today.
And it's what Manchester United fans deserve. The weather's warming up. It's final season. Finals are approaching, sir. We need a final. Manchester United could be going to Turkey or Gdansk. I don't know where Gdansk is. Is it in Turkey? Hard to say, sir. It sounds like Verdansk. Anyone who plays Warzone, same thing. Gdansk, I don't know. Either way, we're going. It's great. And let's lift a trophy. And how about let's beat Arsenal while we're at it? Some people don't want to play Arsenal. I want to play Arsenal. I want to beat them 6-2, sir. I want to beat them back. Beat them back.
I'll take Villarreal. I just like the sound of that. Sounds easier. Necessarily want the easier opponent. We do want to get some kind of redemption against the Gunners. You know, they have had our number. Arteta's floundering in 10th place. But if he wins the Europa League, he's at least good for another season. We cannot let that happen. Doesn't matter. United play that well. Respond the way they do. Show the amount of character that they showed today. No one in the competition can beat us.
Okay. Apologies. Shout out Poland. Gdansk is in Poland.
Not in the war zone map.
Yeah, exactly. Sir, we got a quick PSA for the podcast before we get into this match proper. If you like to support the American Devils, we are for fans by fans. What that means to us is we have no commercial backing, no sponsorship, sir. We are directly supported by you, the fans, in many different ways. One of those is Patreon. We think the best way you could support the podcast is via Patreon. Visit our page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We're giving away stickers, scarves, shirts, pins. You can sign up for anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. Helps keep the lights on in the bunker, sir, at this small-time operation. Another great way you can support the podcast, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have some great fan-generated content. And click on store. We have some awesome merchandise, sir. Hashtag Glazers out. Scars flying off the shelves. The Avrin Glazer clown nose t-shirt. Another special one. It's all on sale. It's all $9.99. You get a shirt for $9.99. You get a scarf for $9.99. And we want the Glazers out. That's what it's all about this podcast, sir.
It's absolutely right. We've been seeing a lot of volume going through the store, sir. Those scarves, they're shooting out. I'm on my last bag or almost running out. So grab them while you can. It's a great way to support the pod. You can join Patreon. You can buy merch. Another great thing is you can check out our blog at AmericanRedDevils.com. We have fan contributors from all over the globe covering the first team, the U23s, the women's team, transfer news, and everything in between. So come check it out. Another great way to support the pod is you can write an iTunes review. Go to iTunes, write a 5-star review. If it's got cheeky banner, even better. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. And we will ship you some free Stanley Chow design stickers right to your door. ASAP Rocky. It's a great way to support the pod. And it doesn't cost a single dime. Sir, what else we got?
That is it. Hans and Franz, drop that beat. Let's go.
You ready for this fire? Woo! Sir, it is growing on me. That song, I tell you, the better we play, the more I like Hans and Franz.
I'll tell you, 6-2, this is a banger right here. You know, first half, I was like, get this song out of here, you know. But let's jump in that lineup. We had Dave Saves World, number one in net. Luke Shaw, world number one left back at the moment. Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing, Wan-Bissaka on the right, Fred McTominay midfield, Pogba on the left, Fernandes in the hole, Rashford on the right, Cavani up top. Sir, what'd you make of this lineup?
Sir, I mean, when I saw it, I kind of got the impression that, you know, Ole was taking the threat from Roma seriously, putting the workman midfield of Fred and McTominay in there, but at the same time, he was not futzing around. He was there to attack. You have the best four attacking players at Manchester United up front. That's what I like to see. I like the lineup. I was glad to see De Gea back in net. He's the Europa League cup keeper, so I'm all about that. What did you think when you saw the starting 11?
I don't know if I like Rashford on the right as much. I thought, how could you drop Greenwood at the moment? He's in great form. I thought about putting Pogba with McTominay in the two, and then that way Rashford could be on the left with Shaw, and then you can have Greenwood on the right. I thought, kind of go for it a little more. It's home. We're at home.
No, I see that as well. You know, I think there would be the thought to drop him in, but he was pretty dangerous up front, getting near the box, whipping in crosses. So, sir, it's good to have options. We got a pretty fit squad at the moment, so we got a deep bench.
I didn't mind it, but it was conservative from Ole. You know, we did have some good players on the bench: Ahmad, Greenwood, Van de Beek, you know, James as well.
James is ready to start. So ready for this. Going to be singing that song in Poland. Can't wait for the final. You're going to know where Lansk is by the time we're done with it. Midweek game, though. I don't rate that. Wednesday night final, I'm not about it.
Sir, I'll be watching anytime United can lift silverware. I'll be there, my man.
You and me both. You and me both. Should we hop into this game, sir?
Let's go.
So both teams came out to play high press, and United looking the better side early. Didn't take long in the ninth minute. Who else? Bruno Fernandes.
To get beyond Ajax in the quarterfinal. Cavani, Bruno Fernandes, Manchester United take the lead. Yet another goal for Bruno Fernandes.
Sir, great build-up play. Great shrug and shoulder from Pogba, showing his strength, showing how valuable he is to this team. Cavani with the awareness to find Bruno Fernandes and just lift it over the keeper as he's coming out to rush. Dude, intelligent play from him. Bruno looked hungry today, very hungry.
And look, shout out Paul P. He created it. Perfect Paul into Cavani. Cavani's first touch, silky, and then is Bruno the best finisher in that position on the team? Him and Greenwood. You know, Rashford, he can get a little clumsy in those situations, but that little dink is just filthy from Bruno. And it's like almost from that angle, I just knew it was going. You knew it was going to go in. I just knew it was a goal. Just Bruno just has that effect. It's kind of like that Ronaldo where he doesn't miss that.
I mean, I'm not going to say I've seen him miss that, but it was exactly the kind of finish that you needed to make in order to beat the keeper. What a stretch and touch from Cavani in the first place. Stretching and still puts in a perfect ball to Bruno. All the credit.
Inch perfect.
I mean, just a beautiful goal all around, deserving of a winning performance.
Deserving from scoring five more and not conceding two, sir.
Indeed, sir. Speaking of that, too, Roma had a response, and it was a little bit of our own making in the 13th minute.
Miscue by Dzeko. Karsdorp arriving. And Roma claiming there was a handball. Karsdorp certainly appealing for a penalty. It will be looked at by VAR. Karsdorp drilling the ball against Pogba. The arm in an unnatural position. Roma have a sound case. He could see it from the halfway line.
Gotta love the commercials. Give me 1 second, sir. Here we go.
Pellegrini, a picture of concentration. Pellegrini to level, and he does just that.
Apologies, sir. CBS Sports, you know, they'll creep up on you with those ads. But hey, penalty, it's justified. You have to say, Pogba had his arms up. Hard to not give that. And and De Gea, give him credit. He did dive the right way, but nobody's saving that penalty.
When De Gea's on the line, you know, I don't expect a penalty save. It's very rare in his career. And, you know, Paul Pogba, you know, as far as giving away penalties, that is something that we see quite a bit from Paul P. It's funny. You think there's certain players who give, like Smalling gave him away. You know, like certain players just have a knack. And Pogba, you know, obviously not blaming him at all. It was kind of funny how his arms kind of flailed and the ball. It was just like, how could that happen? It's the worst possible timing here. But Pogba has a knack for penalties, handballs or tackles or I think I was – I actually checked the stat. I think he's tied. A lot of people are tied with giving away two. Most in the EPL, like Dyer, all these people that kind of give away pens. He doesn't play center back. And think about today, he's on the left wing. That was one of those things where he almost scored too early. I think I saw some people talking about that where we just had a little too much swag. Where this was a rush job on defense. And Pogba, good for him tracking back, but unlucky with the touch on the hand.
I'm about to say, it's like, you know, he has given away quite a few penalties, but he's also tracked back more this season than we've ever seen him do at Manchester United. So credit. It's a double-edged sword, I guess. You know, he's playing so lights out, full of piss and vinegar. Really nice slide tackle. But he just shouldn't have had his arms like wide open in the air.
But I'll credit to Paul Pogba. Every time, like, and also Smalling had this too, when he gave away a pen, he'd score a goal. So, you know, they're good for it.
They certainly are, sir. And United, we weren't too happy to rest down on our laurels after they equalized the game. In the 24th minute, Bruno had a good chance to find an open shot, but he ended up taking the shot and scuffed it. Right after that 25th minute, Pogba with a great hit from outside the box, forces the keeper into a diving save, ends up injuring the keeper. I think it was the second player on the Roma side to come off by like the 25th minute. The goalie got hurt in the sub goalie.
Sorry, and you know, the backup Roma goalie, hell of a day for him.
Busy day for that man, sir. But United, first half, it was a dark half, and it was your boy Dzeko, sir, in the 35th minute.
My boy.
33rd minute, here we go.
Mkhitaryan. It's a beautifully flighted pass by Mkhitaryan, and Edin Dzeko has walked the ball in. What a turnaround.
What a turnaround, sir. You would have thought that Roma were going to go on and hold this lead. United kind of caught out. You know, we were like all over the place. Looks like a vintage goal that we'd given away under Ole at times. We just looked like we kind of didn't know what the hell we were doing. Fred maybe was caught out, but also Lindelof. Nobody was in the right position. Mickey with a very nice pass, to be certain. He's certainly a better player than Alexis Sanchez. United caught sleeping. 2-1.
Sir, snoozing. I mean, this is just... we've seen this before. I mean, the defense is just, you know, one of those things we talk about, man. And it's going to be like, you look at this season, it's like, where do we need to strengthen? And it's like, defense. Defense wins championships. We've been chipping way too many goals. They've cost us, like, arguably a title race. You know, we've definitely stemmed the bleeding, but we just look disorganized. Many times Lindelof was out of position, scrambling AWB. You know, and Maguire should have blocked this cross. Fred should have picked up his man. You're playing with two center midfield CDMs, right? It's like you shouldn't be making these types of mistakes. This should be like the Iron Curtain back there. And instead, we're just getting opened up by an aging, failed Arsenal Mkhitaryan, bro. I mean, come on, man. This is just like one of those where, all right, penalty, you're unlucky. This one, you know, come on. This one pissed me off. This is just bad defending. Bad defending all around. Look, that now our amazing attack can bail us out, but this was really bad defending.
It was really bad defending. It was, like you said, first goal, justified, that's a pen. This one, United, don't be shooting yourself in the foot after how well you are playing going forward, sir. Last piece of action right before the end of the first half, Cavani gets the ball passed to him by a defender. Goalie comes out, blocks the first shot, and then he actually has Pogba kind of like pretty wide open, ends up going at his own again, and gets the second shot saved as well, sir. Probably a good chance to equalize going into half, but you know what? I think going down spurred the boys on at halftime. like you said, 2-1 at half. Sir, what do you think Ole said to the boys to get them riled up?
But just on Cavani, a number nine, you want him to be selfish. I have no problem with him taking it. I hope that's a badass face tattoo underneath that bandage. He should have taken it off, show like a lightning bolt on his face for the second half. Sir, at halftime, you know, Ole's got to say, I don't know. I imagine he's Ole Mr. Nice Guy. Hey, we got the talent. Let's go. You know, he didn't make many subs. I thought here you could have done the Greenwood. I thought we were dying for something. I thought we kind of got into a little bit of a lull. That's why I'm surprised we came out with urgency in the second half. So maybe Ole gave him the hairdryer. I don't know. But whatever he did, keep it up.
So whatever he did, it worked. United almost inflicted a little pain on themselves early in the second half. De Gea passed the ball like right off one of the strikers. It wasn't Dzeko, it was the other guy. Literally hit him, and then it was another goal kick. But that could have been really bad. So De Gea got to work on the distribution. But you know who was having a day, sir, was El Matador. In the 48th minute, un golazo.
Que vino largo, sin marca está Cavani. Ahora es Bruno Fernández, le va a pegar, vino con el toque. Golazo. Gol de Manchester United. Apareció Edinson Cavani. 2-2.
¿Por qué quedó tan desarmado la?
2-2, sir. What a goal. What a team goal. What an individual finish by Edinson Cavani. I thought he was going to overhit it, but just like beauty. Top net. What's not to like?
I mean, this one is name the last striker who wore the Manchester United shirt, scored a goal like that.
RVP.
That's it right there. That's a number nine. That's a number nine. Are you kidding me? Like, that was a finish, sir. That's a goal. It's almost a shame he scored six because that was such a banger. Cavani just oozing class. He wanted the ball. He was all over this game. His movement, I just was watching him in the box. He's unbelievable. And then pulling a finish like this, we're back, baby. This is what got us in this game. Everyone looks at him. They have confidence. Cavani, look at the 1-2 he played earlier. This goal, he's hungry, sir. Feed him. Hungry, hungry hippos. Cavani, Matador, can't lose him. Can't lose him to Boca Juniors. Are you kidding me? We can't convince him to stay at Manchester United. I mean, like, I would say keeping him is more important than signing like a Haaland or even Harry Kane, which, by the way, we're not doing because we're broke. But I just want to get that through fans' heads. It's like he is here. He's doing a great job. Perfect transition for the youth, right? We have Martial. We have Greenwood. We have Rashford. It's like the perfect combination having the older guy doing the job. And it's like if he leaves, man, that's – big shoes to fill. Cavani's got to stay. We can get that later. Sorry.
I mean, you're right, sir. He's so important. He's like the purest number nine we've had since RVP.
Yeah, exactly.
Reminiscent of that. And we have so many young strikers that need a mentor other than their manager, who was a pretty decent striker himself. But Cavani, growing into form.
He puts this down and says, yo, check this one, young lads. Yo, check that replay. You want to be a proper number nine, start doing that. And he has that, the headers, the movement, these types, like we talked about Golazo. I mean, he's got it all, and they can just learn so much from him. And I feel like it's just going to – sorry, we got to get into it later, but, you know, my heart's going to be broken when he leaves us.
He can. You know? I think we win a piece of silverware. I think that'll help keep him around for one more season, I hope. He's got to play in front of fans at Old Trafford, so we can talk about Cavani all day. Speaking of Cavani, in the 53rd minute, he had a great chance, actually, after Shaw made an awesome run into the box. Cutback pass, like you like to see, blasted over. Probably should at least hit the target, but he made amends.
It skipped up. It skipped up on the turf a little bit. Either way, you forgive him when he scored 5 minutes earlier, right?
You did. It wasn't quite 5 minutes. It was about 10. But 57th minute, McTominay had a good chance after United break, but passes to no one. Probably should have just shot it. And then, like you said, sir, Eddie Cavani in the 64th minute. He wasn't done yet.
Bruno Fernandes. Wan-Bissaka. No. Cavani follows up. Too much sting in the initial shot from Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Antonio Morante couldn't hold on. And Roma in the second half unable to hold on to their lead.
Sir, great poacher's goal. you know, good. Whoever spotted out Wan-Bissaka, I believe it was Bruno Fernandes with a great pass, great look. Nice hit from AWB, but a great little, you know, scrappy rebound finish from Cavani. Those goals matter so much. Those goals make the difference. Huge one today. Go ahead, goal. Let's go. Keep going.
Yeah, I believe it was Bruno on the outlet. Absolute inch perfect. Wan-Bissaka with a laser too. I mean, credit to him. I thought this was going to go in. And the Cavani just cleaning it up. Another signature poacher's goal from Cavani, RVP. You know, he'd be there as well. I mean, it's just like he's growing into that shirt. Number 7 of all shirts, sir.
Sir, he can't leave because it's not cursed for once. It's like we could sign Sancho, and I'm not sure he'd have quite the impact in season one that he's having right now. Cavani just looks a top player. Top player all around. So 68th minute, Shaw drives into the box, takes a nice hit. Everybody was kind of feeling it, pushing forward, turning the screws. They knew Roma was there to be taken. They knew that they're a better team, and they were going for it, sir.
Totally. This is like, you have them on the ropes. This is Manchester United. Have them on the ropes, and they're just like trying to put them down. Let's go.
Finish him. Sir, in the 71st minute, we got a little bit of luck ourselves. Penalty to Manchester United.
And to release the ball early. Rashford. Cavani, and he tried the elaborate little flick, being put under pressure there by Smalling, and Manchester United get the penalty. Dart of acceleration from Cavani, and Smalling nowhere near the ball. A frustrating return to Old Trafford for Chris Smalling. It's the stuttering run-up. It's the same conclusion.
Bruno, Bruno, Bruno. 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 Cristiano. He goes out, he goes out. Makes the pencil a shine. He's a punching, he's magnifico.
Sir, any doubt ever that Bruno Fernandes is not going to hit the hell out of that penalty and score, taking United to 4-2? Yeah, you got a little bit lucky. Probably not a pen, but hey, you'll take him.
Yeah, I mean, secret agent Chris Smalling, shout out to you. Thanks for the penalty, Bruno. I mean, just I've never seen a better penalty taker in my life.
I don't know if there is a better penalty taker than Bruno Fernandes.
Sir, we weren't done yet.
We weren't done yet. Paul Pogba had his say in the 75th minute.
To go with the same personnel. And now trailing 4-2. In by Bruno Fernandes. Pogba with the header. It's another for Manchester United. Where they really are running riot now.
Running riot, you better believe it, sir. Scoring from a corner, can't believe I've seen it, but what a goal it was. Nice ball in from Bruno. Great finish from Paul Pogba. Love to see him in the air. Beats Smalling. Smalling just misses. Good goal, 5-2. Let's go.
Sir, then we decided to, you know, up the pressure a little bit. 76 minutes sub, Greenwood for Rashford. I was waiting for this one. I also wish we got to see Ahmad as well. It wasn't in the cards. And then 77th minute, Cavani, bicycle kick. He could have chested this one down, had a touch, and then finished it. But he's just going for the golazos all day.
Golazos all day. He was offsides anyway. But like you said, he could have probably taken it on his chest, finished well. But he was just in the mood. He was just feeling it. Sometimes you're just feeling it, dude. In the zone, as they say. In this 83rd minute, Matic comes on for Fred, obviously saving him for Liverpool. I actually thought Fred played really well today. You know, a lot of the things that he doesn't often do, terrific. His passing distribution was pretty good. Starboy, 86th minute, Mason Greenwood.
To Roma's advantage, on by Cavani. Greenwood. It's a magnificent finish. Morata got a hand to that. But Mason Greenwood has been on the periphery since coming on as a substitute, as a replacement.
So the feels in this highlight, everybody's hugging. Cavani puts his arm around Shaw. You love to see it. This team, it's growing into something formidable. And we've seen it over the last 2 years, and it's really coming together. Last bit of action for the game was sub. Mata came on for Bruno, the birthday boy. I think it was his birthday yesterday. Bruno would have got a standing O if there were fans at the stadium. That was all she wrote. 6-2 Manchester United, not quite 7-1, but a hell of a performance.
Sir, you got to also give 86 men that goal. Cavani's ball to Mason Greenwood like makes that goal. So you're going to look at Edinson Cavani, two goals, two assists, You take those away, sir. What's the score?
We ain't winning. It's 2-2.
You get what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I want to talk about, that he's a heavyweight. He's elevating the game of the players around him. You understand? And it's like what he does, having the focal point, what he does to Greenwood, he makes Greenwood better. He makes Pogba better. I mean, everything about Cavani today is what we need in a Manchester United number nine, leading the line for our club. And without him, I don't know if we score this many goals and bail that first half out.
No, we definitely don't, because he was arguably man of the match. There were probably two or three men today that could have been man of the match. But that finish at the beginning of the second half just sets the tone for the rest of the half. It said, let's go, boys. This is our game. This is our cup to win. And we ain't going nowhere. And that just like class finish, sir. So classy. You needed a La Liga, not La Liga, Telemundo call, sir. Did it justice.
It was a big win in a big spot, right? Semifinal curse, you know, kind of the ceiling for Ole is these semifinals. This team as well, kind of breaking through that. You know, and a lot of good vibes all around for some big players with uncertain future in this team. This is a critical win on the way to lifting a trophy. And we hope that solves all of our problems. You know, match stats, Manchester United 64% of the ball to Roma's 36%, shots 20-5, sir. That sounds like Manchester United of old playing to Old Trafford. Shots on target 11-3. Let's go. That's what Manchester United football is all about. The reaction, United have scored 6 goals in a single match in European competition for the first time since netting 7 against who? That'd be Roma in April 2007. And Marcus Rashford become the youngest ever player to reach 50 European appearances for Manchester United at 23 years, 180 days. Mason Greenwood has scored 27 goals for Manchester United in all competitions, the third most of any player in the club's history before turning 20 after Norman Whiteside and Georgie Best. That is some esteemed company. And Bruno Fernandes has been directly involved in 62 goals and 74 appearances since arriving at the club. That is absolutely bananas, sir. That is insane. And Bruno Fernandes is only the third player in Manchester United's history to score 20-plus penalties after Ruud van Nistelrooy and Wayne Rooney. He's on 20, van Nistelrooy at 28, Rooney at 27. He will break that, sir. He's on pace to score like 60.
We get a lot. He finishes them all. He's an unbelievable penalty taker. Like, he could go down as like one of the all-time great penalty takers if he keeps this trend up, if he keeps this course up. But he's a hell of a player, big-time player. And it was just great to see Pogba and Cavani. And everyone played really well, you know, but those three in particular kind of just like take some of the burden off of Bruno. There's been so much kind of bags on his shoulders for a lot of this season, a lot of the season before, for him to be the creative spark. He played really well today. But Cavani was like unbelievable, as was Paul Pogba. So we got to keep that. We got to keep that trifecta together. We got to keep
it. Hey, Bruno's trying. You know, if you believe the rumors, he's trying to keep it together. But what do we know, sir? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I know it's half time in the tie, but that's an incredible advantage. Do you feel like the job is done?
No, I don't feel like the job is done, but it was a good job done. We did well, but we know they've got quality. They scored 2 goals with 2 chances first half, two moments that we gave them, and they did the same to Ajax. They didn't have loads of chances, but they score. So. And in Rome, a team will get 4, 5, 6 chances against you anyway. So, but very pleased with the response, especially half-time or second half was very good.
Well, exactly that, because at half-time, the guys in the studio, Paul Scholes and Owen Hargreaves, were both saying that you probably needed to make some changes in midfield. You were proved right because you stuck to your guns.
Yeah. You can say that. It's easy up there thinking who should play, but who should not play.
But why did you feel
that? Well done. I mean, like to see it grow in confidence for sure. And why not? Because he got it right today. He has shown that sometimes he doesn't need to make those subs. Sometimes he does, but sometimes the boys respond, and they certainly did today.
Yo, put some respect on the Oldham Athletic manager, Paul Scholes, former Oldham Athletic, bro. Come on. You love to see it. Europa League check-in. Hans and Franz were in person in Spain watching Villarreal and Arsenal. Villarreal beat Arsenal 2-1. 2 red cards in that game. Very interesting, sir. I don't know who got suspended. Who cares? we'll take the winner in Poland, Gdansk. We'll see you there. I who do you want to play, Arsenal or Villarreal?
I think you convinced me. I think Arsenal, because it's like a bit of a boogeyman. There's no reason that we played as poorly against Arsenal historically under Ole as we have. But I'll tell you what, if he lines up like he did today and we play anywhere near as close as we played as well today, we will smoke Arsenal. They are a shit team, and I would love to beat them up.
Who's afraid of Arsenal? Who's like?
I'm not afraid, but our track record is not great.
It's like a narrative where the fans are nervous. It's like, no, man, I want Arsenal in the final. I want to smoke them, and I want to like have a laugh at all the Arsenal fans online. I want to play the big English teams, and I want to stomp them, sir. Villarreal, I mean, Yellow Submarine, Unai Emery, like, you know, all right, whatever. But Arsenal, Manchester United will have a little more oomph, right? It is obviously the not the number one trophy you want to earn, but it's a final and it's two English teams. I think it makes it a little more special, just like when John Terry slipped on the banana peel and we won the European Cup, sir, proper. You know, it just like that has a little more. It has a little more to it.
It does. And it'd be great for banter over the summer. I don't care either way. I just want us to go to the final and do the job. Break the curse, sir. I think we break the curse. We get there. There's no stopping us. This team.
Ain't no curse. Ain't no curse.
Exactly.
538.com. Odds to win it all. Manchester United, 62%. 99% chance to make the final, sir. It's a lock. Villarreal, 22% to win the final. Arsenal, 15% to win the final. And Roma, less than 1% chance. So, sir, we are the odds-on favorite. The big dog in the tourney. You just got to take it down, sir.
Can't get intimidated by the bright lights of Europa League. Can't be, you know, the shock and awe of Hans and Franz, sir. We can't let it go to our heads. But it's a big game. Big win. Huge performance. We go next week. Go to Rome. Do the job. Don't ever give them an inch. Don't even give them a second when they think they're in this game. And let's roll them. Keep going.
Totally. But you have to admit, under Mourinho, when we played Ajax, the up-and-coming Ajax team, you know, it's like they were very good, sir. In that final, I was more nervy than I am against Villarreal and Arsenal. You know what I'm saying? Like, that final seemed like a little that was actually, like, on a knife's edge. This one, I think we should be able to stomp whoever we play. Like, I'm much more confident going into this one than I was in 17.
I also think this is a much better side than that Mourinho team. Just the way we're playing, even our defense, the capacity to attack, the flair, the amount of the players we have. I think we're much better.
We missed Zlatan. We had no Zlatan, right? That was the big issue. Was Zlatan right going into the final? It would have been a different story, totally. But, sir, we could talk about, you know, European Cup finals all day. We got a next match. It's a special one. It's against the team who shall not be named on this podcast, a.k.a. the Scouse Bastards. We're playing them at home. Old Trafford, sir. You get late into a season, you're playing the Scouse Bastards. It's a special match. Sunday, May 2nd, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, sir. We're going to be watching Telemundo. Shout out to Telemundo for probably a great call on a great game, sir. My first game I ever went to at Old Trafford. It was Manchester United versus Liverpool. I think the bar ran out of alcohol around 12:30 p.m., in the afternoon. So, you know, it was an early kickoff time, but, you know, they drank them dry. It was the old school days, sir. Everyone was green and gold. We won. Ji-Sung Park header, Fernando Torres, Carragher for Liverpool, the old school style. You know, Benitez was at the helm, Sir Alex. You know, you love it. You love to see those days. A lot has changed, but the Scouse Bastards on the slide. Manchester United on the rise. Lifetime versus Scouse Bastards, we've won 89, drawn 68, we've lost 77. First time we ever played them, April 1894, that was Liverpool versus Newton Heath. It was a test match. We lost 2-0. We followed up and then played them again in 1885, and we lost 7-1 in Division 2, sir. So, you know, we were a fledgling club back in the day when they were getting one up on us.
Lots changed since then, sir. They are certainly on the skid. They need a win. They probably need a win more than we do, but we drop points against Leeds. This is a huge match. We haven't won enough against Liverpool recently, so I want us to go out, carry on. Yeah, well, sorry, I can't help it. I want us to go on from this huge victory and play the same way. I almost might play the same starting 11.
I would agree. I think you, Sir Cavani is undroppable. Greenwood's undroppable. You know, I think in the midfield too, you can adjust. You know, we'll get into our 11, but you're right. They're on a slide. They lost to Real Madrid 3-1. They eked out a win against Villa 2-1. Then they drew Madrid out of the Champions League. You love to see it. Then they drew Leeds. They drew just drew Newcastle. They're coming to us. Unfortunately for us, the last time we beat them in the league, sir, was March 2018. 3 years ago since we beat them in the league.
Damn.
Can
really?
You believe it?
No, I can't believe it.
No, a lot of draws. Like we're unbeaten at home against them, but we just haven't won against Liverpool in the league. 3 years ago, Rashford had a brace. Bailly had an own goal. On the starting 11, Sanchez, Lukaku, Ashley Young, Valencia, Smalling started that day. And off the bench, Fellaini, Lingard, and Darmian.
Oh, my God. We've come a
That's
long
the
way.
Last time we beat Liverpool, 2-1.
That was the day of Marcus's cutback, right? His Ronaldo chop?
Yes. It's look, so we've been we did beat them earlier this year, 3-2 in the FA Cup, right? We have played them quite a bit. Sir, like you'll look at this stat, Manchester United have lost just one of their last 15 home matches against Liverpool in all competitions. We've won 10, drawn 4, and are unbeaten in their last 8 since March 2014. But, you know, we haven't been getting the dubs on them since Klopp came in, and they've kind of gone on the rise. A lot of draws. Remember Mourinho playing for the draw. Ole's been conservative. We remember that earlier this year as well. You know, so it's time that we just smash them, sir. Like you said, they're on the slide. We're playing great. We absolutely need to murder them on Sunday.
We do. And I think what we did last time is we probably showed them a little too much credit, a little too much respect, played pretty conservatively. We know we're the better team at the moment. We're playing like it. We are it. We're a better side right now. So we need to go and show it because this is a big game. You know, Leicester are getting a little too close for comfort, you know, behind us, 5 points behind us now in third versus our second. They're playing a pretty winnable opponent on the weekend. So this is a huge game. Huge game at home. The boys have been playing much better at home since we got those black banisters. I'll tell you what. Last good thing Ed Woodward did before he got sacked or resigned or whatever happened. But either way, we got to keep that form going. Keep it going for the rest of the season. Keep it going to the final in Lansk. Can't wait for this game. Big teeth.
Gdansk.
Gdansk?
Yeah.
Verdansk? Is it not the Warzone game?
Gdansk. Not Lask and Lansk. Gdansk.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Gdansk, sir. G.
Gdansk. Good day. It sounds a little bit like good day.
Tell you what. I'm going to, after we do the pod, I'm going to run you through a quiz so you can test pronounce all the Polish, major Polish cities. We'll see how you do, sir.
Well, it's not Warsaw or Krakow, so shame on me. It's probably, what, the third biggest city in Poland?
I don't know. Hard to say. Founded in 1892, Scoutmaster joined the Football League the following year and has played at the Shitbox, a.k.a. Anfield, since formation. Sir, a little history there. The first basketball game was played in public in 1892, so taking it back. This team, a lot of history between these two clubs. We do not like each other, sir. Why do we not like each other? It's one of the fiercest rivalries in football. It's regional. It has economic roots as well. You know, Liverpool, they established themselves as a major force in English and European football in the 70s and 80s under, you probably heard this week, Bill Shankly. You know, basically he believed in everything that Super League isn't, which is kind of the, we talked about treason against United. Well, you know, the Scousebastards, they did treason against Bill Shankly and his view of the club. Essentially, United succeeded Liverpool as English as the biggest team in the early 90s, and we've battled for number one spot ever since. Obviously, we have 20 to their 19 titles, 121 major trophies between the clubs to prove it. Sir, we are the greatest in English football. We have won it all. We have more trophies than them. It's very close at the minute. I haven't done the extra count on the 121, but Europa League will matter for that. And the best thing that describes this rivalry, we can talk about the economics, we can talk about the canal, we can talk about everything, but the fact that the last player to transfer between these two clubs, this really defines the rivalry, is Phil Chisinau moved from United to Liverpool in 1964, and since then not a single player has transferred directly between these two clubs. To put that disdain in perspective, 9 players have moved between Barcelona and Real Madrid since that transfer. 1964. They don't even know. They don't even have contacts at the other club to sell a player, sir. That is savage. That's savage.
I mean, that's before we won our first European Cup in 68. It's going way back. There's bad blood between these two clubs and the worst blood. You know, we signed a lot of good players from Leeds. We've signed, you know, we've sent players to City. No Liverpool exchange in 64. That is telling you something about this rivalry.
Bad not giving blood. An inch. You're not giving an inch. Physioroom.com. Injuries, Phil Jones, Martial. We know those two guys are out. Sir, given that is the injuries, what is your lineup?
Sir, I'm going Hendo and Net back for our Premier League keeper. I'm going to do AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, and Shaw. Lindelof did seem to pull up at the end of the game just a little bit, but he seemed to ran it off, so hopefully he's fine for the weekend. I'm going to do Fred McSauce, midfield combo, just to outwork him. Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, Cavani, same front four. Let's go, United. Let's put four past them. Can't wait for this game.
All right, I'm going to say Dean Henderson in net, Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, McTominay, Pogba midfield, Bruno in the hole, Rashford on the left, Cavani up top, Greenwood on the right. Got to bring in Greenwood. Greenwood is on fine form. He looks like he's going to score. Everything he touches is turning to goal, and off the right, he is fire. Cavani can find him. Pogba can find him. Bruno can find him. I just really rate Rashford on the left, Greenwood on the right, and then that means where does Pogba play? Put him in the two. And let McTominay do the dirty work.
I love it. I love to see it. Not sure Ole's going to go that way. You can almost say if you're going to, you know, if you don't put Pogba, in the midfield too, and you did play on the left wing, that you'd rather have Greenwood at the moment at right wing. Like Marcus is almost the one where he doesn't look at 100%. I still think he's carrying some injuries. He looked okay today, but when Greenwood came on, I mean.
But you got to play Rashford against Liverpool.
I know.
You know, Rashford's a mank, true and true. He was going to want to play against Liverpool. You can't drop him. Booking the bookies, United Liverpool, tight here. Liverpool plus 180, draw plus 260, Manchester United plus 140. We are the favorites at home. Sir, to score first, Salah plus 360. He's got the number. Cavani plus 550. Then it's Bruno and then Sadio Mane. So it's very close on the odds. Who knows how it's going to go? I have a feeling we're going to beat him up. What's your score prediction?
So I think 3-1. You know, same kind of thing. Maybe go into halftime. It's tied. United just open it up in the second half. Let's go. 3-1. March on to leg two. Roma. Let's finish them off there.
We say 2-0, sir. We need a clean sheet, two goals. We're going to win and then cruise on into the final in Gdansk. Sir, we got some news. United in the news. Sir, we just signed a defender. Did you hear it? Eric Bailly, new signing. Hashtag Edward Ward special. Look, we all love Bailly. Unfortunately, he's injured, sir. His injury record, he made just 37 Premier League starts since the start of the 2017-18 season. That's not enough. Very surprised we re-signed him. 4-year contract extension. Murtaugh, one of Murtaugh's first deals here. The word on the street is that this is going to be treated as like a new signing, so then we could go spend all of our, all the money in the piggy bank on Erling Haaland. So that is the popular opinion that has been kind of spread out there. I don't know who thinks we have enough money to sign Erling Haaland, because we're just as broke as Real Madrid and Barcelona trying to join the Super League. But apparently the top Edward Ward special, top Murtaugh special, is signing an injury-prone defender who's already played for us and calling it a new signing.
So this is my pipe dream of signing Varane. You gave me a lot of shit because I was too hot on the French defender. There's your defender. You know, of all the names we lined out, hopefully Cavani takes care of the striker, but everybody was saying, got to strengthen the defense, got to get another center back, got to get somebody to challenge Lindelof for that number two spot. This basically tells you we ain't signing no defense, no Pau Torres, no Varane, no nobody else, because that's your new defender. And that's an Ed Woody special. He hasn't left yet. He's still having his mark on this club, because that's basically as to be expected. I'm not saying I don't like Eric Bailly. I really like Eric Bailly. You know, when he plays, he's one of the best defenders in the league. It's just that his injury record is arguably worse than Phil Jones's. You know, it's really 37 appearances in 4 years is really low. I think, what did I see that like didn't Slabhead already out have the number of appearances that him? He has like more appearances in 2 years or a year and a half than Bailly had in five. So it's not that surprising. No, it's not that surprising.
So, okay, what reading the tea leaves here, it doesn't mean we're not going to sign a defender. We can totally sign a defender. But what it means is it's like this is a defensive signing. And when I'm talking about Manchester United and director of football, I'm looking for people to make moves. Understand that we really need a top-notch third-choice center back, and that Bailly's injury record, he ain't it. He's not it, especially on another four-year deal, because what we're going to be looking at is like, what lesson did you learn from Phil Jones then? You know, injury record, you extend him, and he's just been sitting collecting those checks, and we need that slot. So at the end of the day, you can't have Phil Jones and Eric Bailly. It's one or the other, right? Phil Jones is on the books. Are you going to be able to ship him? No. Bailly, you know, it's one of those, you got to pick one, and then you got to go out and sign one. The problem with Manchester United at the moment is they look at signing Eric Bailly as cheap because they don't have to splash transfer fees. That's where you're starting to understand. So we re-sign Phil Jones because it's cheap. We re-sign Eric Bailly because it's cheap. And when you start thinking director of football, is City just re-signing people because they're cheap because they don't want to go out and fix problems with their squad? No, they're buying three center backs because they need to fix one. Re-signing people, this is just more of the same for Manchester United, and it's not the step in the right direction, because if Murtaugh is really the director of football, we need to be making moves, and making moves is saying, hey, Bailly, can't take another punt on you, man. You've been injured too much, and we need someone who's really going to step up, not like hoping and praying something's going to change, because unfortunately, we've seen many games. It's not going to happen.
Fool me once, sir, as they say. If this is the beginning of the John Murtaugh era, it looks about to be basically the same we've seen for the last 8 years under Ed Forefingers Woodward. Nothing's changed, bro. It's like even when Eddie steps down, eventually, maybe the end of the year, if John Murtaugh's in charge, this is like the same kind of decisions being made. It is a cheap, short-sighted decision from a club that is broke as a joke, and they want to take some of the pressure off them in the summer by not having an impetus to sign a defender, right? Because Bailly could leave on a free the following year. He'd already be negotiating with teams. They're going to tell this and be like, we got depth there. Don't worry about Twanzebe. Don't worry about Phil Jones. But you're not going to be able to ship Phil Jones. Like, Phil Jones is going to just leave whenever his contract ends.
But I'm saying, like, Maguire, Lindelof, Twanzebe, Bailly, Jones is – do you need another center back? Probably not. So then why would you re-sign? It doesn't like the director of football is supposed to deal with all this, sir. It's like the depth chart, how many center backs you have. It's just you love some youth in there too, you know, and Bailly's aging and injury prone. So it's one of those where it's interesting. I'm not going to say it's a bad one. I'm just going to say, hey, I'll take it because who knows what these numpties are going to come up in the summer. Oh, by the way, next bit of news per the Manchester Evening News, John Murtaugh outlines summer transfer plans for Manchester United. Quote, he's coming out giving quotes, sir. The scouting team's working closely with Ole to produce options for consideration based on the type of profile which Ole feels that the team needs. Ole has a veto because as a club, we will not sign a player the manager doesn't want. Wow. He got promoted to ensure that? Like, no shit, Sherlock. I mean, holy, like, why would you sign a player the manager doesn't want? That doesn't make any sense to me. Quote, the club has already always backed its manager in the transfer market. It's evident from what's gone on over the last two or three seasons that there have been a structured and disciplined approach to player recruitment. AKA, my boss, Ed Woodward, has done a great job. And when we talked about structured and disciplined, we're talking about scrambling the last minute, calling Ighalo, having him get on a plane from China in the middle of a pandemic. That's structured and disciplined, sir. That's structured and disciplined. Quote, the transfer market will be challenging in the next 12 months. But we're also going to prioritize Erling Haaland. So this guy's talking out his fucking asshole. The transfer market will be challenging the next 12 months, but when the right players are available, which fit our profile for the right values, we will be in and around those opportunities as and when they arise. This is just Ed Woodward's little junior Ed Woodward. Do you understand? He has said nothing. It's just a lot of banker speak, just a lot of words that mean nothing. I also saw that Murtaugh comes out and says, Erling Haaland's our priority signing. It's like, for the right value. How could Erling Haaland, when Dortmund is telling you they want $130 million, and you say, he's a priority for the right value? What the fuck does that mean? So just shut your trap.
it's a charade, sir. It's like, you know, they're going to pretend like they're in for him so United fans can get all frothy all summer and act like we're in for a big name and then be disappointed at the end and thankful if we just re-sign Eddie Cavani to another one-year deal. But so this is what's damning is the club has always backed its manager in the transfer market. It's evident from what's gone on over the last two or three seasons that there's been, yeah, you know what I mean? This is, you want to know why John Murtaugh, Everton genius, got the job and why Nicky Butt stepped down. There you go, bud. It's that. It's laid out in his first public statement for the club. I am a yes man. I'm here to do the bidding of the same jackasses that have been running this club into the ground for the last 15 years. Nothing's going to change, and I'm excited to be here.
I mean, sir, if you know, I could do a way better job at a statement. It's like we're looking for great players. Manchester United want to play Manchester United football the Manchester United way, which, you know, we believe Ole has a great eye for, and we're going to do everything we can to supply him with the right. You know, it's like something that makes you believe. This is just like walking everything back, giving you nothing. And so, look, there's the Erling Haaland thing where he's a priority. It's like, have a laugh, you know? And like, we're going to get into a more transfer muppetry here, sir. Before that, let's just talk about Ed Woodward. You know, the whole his house thing is going to attack. I mean, like this whole thing, it's like his house is attacked a week ago, but there's like no signs of damage or anything. And this again feels like spin zone. The police weren't even called. So again, this is just Neil Ashton, just like have a break. You know, it's like he's lying about Ed Woodward's involvement in the Super League. Then there's spin zone and that Ed Woodward's actually a victim and he didn't want to be in the Super League. It's just like, I'm so done with Ed Woodward. It's just like, I understand some people think the press is like a game, but when you're the president or executive vice chairman of Manchester United, you have a duty to the fans. The duty of the fans is to stand up and communicate and take criticism when criticism is due. It's not to like spin zone the press and absolutely lie. This is like another one of those things where, like, remember when the photographer was in front of his gate and I called that out and people were kind of like pissed that I said that and like nothing happened. The police weren't called. How could a photographer from the Sun be ready to take that photo shot? And it's like, because you're dealing with this like Neil Ashton spin zone. Not buying this one again. A lot of other social media for Manchester United were kind of – everyone's seen the trick, man. They know. They're just trying to kind of change sentiment about the Glazers Out movement, about the protests outside the stadium, trying to turn them into like hooligans when actually the real hooligans are the ones who are stealing money from the club. This is kind of – the club's doing everything.
So if they hadn't already pulled this move, like it's basically, you're right. It's him playing the victim and him actually like trying to make United fans look bad, which if you think about it, as the guy who's been the chairman or the CEO for the last 8 years, that's a pretty low move. And we know he's a small man, this Ed Woodward. We've seen it. We've seen the way he's acted and treated legends, Manchester United legends at this club, and just like literally spit in their face, told them one thing, did something else behind their back. Same thing he did with the UEFA Thursday before they announced the Super League. So this is, like you said, Neil Ashton special, right? They found out the last time was bullshit. This time, like, he didn't call the police. You think Ed Woodward wouldn't call the police? They damaged the fence. He's got to do an insurance claim. He wouldn't call the police? Like, get the fuck out of here.
No, and that's the whole point. Is that there's no evidence. It's just a story planted in the press, just like the story about Edward resigning because he hated the Super League. It's all bullshit, bro. And so at the end of the day, I'm just done with all this. I don't really care what the Glazers have to say. I don't care what Woodward has to say. Fool me once, but this is just bullshit. On to some real bullshit, real juicy bullshit I can get into, sir.
Fool me once. You're going to do this? Let's go.
I'll never give up hope that my boy, Cristiano Ronaldo, sir, will return to Manchester United. You're saying there's a chance. There's a chance. This is legit. This is Tudo Mercado Web. We had rumors that Mendes was in touch with Woodward. The issue is that Juventus are fourth in Serie A right now. If Juventus get bumped and do not make Champions League, hear me out, sir, then he's going to look for a club that is in the Champions League because Ronaldo is looking to get back. He's looking to break records, right? The two clubs reportedly could be in for him are PSG and us. Madrid are out. They don't want him. There is a short list for Ronaldo at the moment. It's kind of insane to me because he actually has been playing extraordinarily well at Juventus. But United essentially are willing to pay him half of what he's currently making, $13 million, for him to play at Manchester United. I don't know if he'll take that deal, but I would take that deal. I would have a few, like, the stars have to align. I'm just telling you, Ronaldo's not coming to United. But if Juventus get bumped from Champions League, PSG don't want him, and there's not many places, he would take a deal to come back to Old Trafford if it ensured he could continue to play European football, because he's kind of on his last leg before he goes to MLS, and he will move to a team to play in the Champions League.
I mean, it's the wage that kind of is suspicious, because A, I think United would be willing to pay more to bring, you know, the legend of Cristiano Ronaldo back. Are we going to pay money for 38-year-old Ronaldo? I mean, are they going to pay an upfront fee?
Yes.
You think they would?
Yeah, but he, this is like Ronaldo's going to force his way out. I mean, he, you know, so I'm rooting against Juventus, sir. I'm rooting for AC Milan, Lazio, you know, I, whatever it takes. It's, you know, it's like whatever it takes to get that the smoking hot ex-girlfriend back, I'll do it. You know, it's just like I have to rely on other people, but I'll take Ronaldo back. Could you imagine like Cavani, him, like it? He would be him coming to our team. We would be better. He's a nut job. He's an egomaniac, but we would be better, dude. He knows Ole, play with Ole. I mean, come on, man. It's like, what player that's this cheap could make our team that better?
Where does he start, though? You know, does he start in the left wing over Rashford? He's not gonna, if Cavani resigns, he's not going to start a striker. 10 is Bruno. Does he like to play on the right? You know, I don't even know. You know, you're a super fan.
He plays on the left, plays at number 9. You know, so I, dude, there's plenty of places for him to play in this team, you know, especially if Cavani leaves, especially if Pogba leaves, you know, I'm just saying, I'm looking at this and be like, could you imagine him wearing number 7 back at United again, standing over a ball on a free kick? Come on.
Can Ole deal with that much personalities?
We had Fred over a free kick today.
I know. I couldn't believe that. I was like, Fred, what are you doing? He didn't take it, but he wanted to sniff.
Hey, shoot me a tweet if you think I'm crazy, but you know, this, it does come from Italy. It has legs. It can possibly happen. And, you know, sir, last dance, my man, last dance.
So, Juve has soured. I mean, like, that is absolutely true.
Yes. You
know, they have very much soured. They want him out, apparently. So we'll see.
He wants to break Champions League records, bro. Like, he literally needs it. And if they don't have Champions League football, he will leave that club, like 100%. Next tweet here. Apparently, per Bild, another reputable source from Germany, Real Madrid, Barcelona are out of signing Erling Haaland, sir. So he did a big tour. He went to Real Madrid. He went to Barcelona. He went to Man City. He went to Manchester United. Manchester United are favorites per Bild. The price has been reduced. Now it's £130 million. Riola is stirring up the pot. Riola is telling Dortmund that if they don't do a deal now, like he's putting pressure, like you got to do the deal now. He says, if you don't do it now, we're going to sell him to Bayern.
I heard that.
Again, you have the top troll in world football trying to push for a deal. He's going to do everything he can. We don't have the money for this, but Ole wants him. What do you make of this? If we lose Cavani, is Haaland does kind of slot right in, and you look at Ole's style, and a number 9 means everything to United in the way we're playing, the way we set up. Look how well Cavani does, you know. But then we don't have a right winger. I don't know. Is this even? Could we even do this much money on one player? It'd basically be a Haaland summer. That's it.
No, we're not even going to spend £130 million all day this summer. So it's like there's no way it happens. The amount of wheeling dealing, even if you did like a net spend. You ship Pogba, you ship De Gea, you get some money from Lingard, you sell Phil Jones for a packet of crisps. I mean, like, sir, you know we ain't got no money, bro. They spent no money last year, and the club basically had their last chance saloon with the Super League. They're looking to sell. There's no fucking way we're signing Erling Haaland. Our chance to sign Erling Haaland was when he went for £18 million to Dortmund in the first place. That was it, dude. We're not going to – unless, like – a new buyer comes in with a fat wallet that's ready to make a splash. It's just not, it's 0% chance, sir.
So we got, I think I have to redo the numbers on the balance sheet, but I think you're right. If we sell some, if everything goes right selling players and we decide to like really extend, we could do a deal for Haaland, but it'd be the only player we sign all summer. Right. And so like, I'm saying even then it'd be like, for us to spend more than £100 million on a player, the probability would be very low, but it's doable. but it's going to require Dortmund to come down. And so this one could happen. I'm just saying it'd be like, that's it. Like, Bailly's the new center back. We're not getting a right winger. And it's just Haaland. That's it. Like, that would be like the only deal we do. I could, I'm not ruling that out. It's a very low probability. But man, seeing Cavani today, I'd rather have Cavani stay, not sign Haaland, get Declan Rice in, you know, and get a center back. I'm more leaning that way instead of doing this whole like splash the cash on Haaland. I'd rather have Cavani stay. But if Cavani's leaving, then we're in trouble. We're in big trouble.
No, we need a number nine, you know, and I heard a Galu's ready to come back, sir. Big money. We'll do it. He's the guy. I mean, if you could only sign one player and you can get Haaland, yes, it's worth it. It's worth it to take a summer off because he's a generational talent. He could be your number nine for the next 10 years. You could have Rashford on the left. You could have Martial as the backup. You could have Mason Greenwood on the right wing. It'd be a match made in heaven, sir. He would look great in red, but this is what this is. You know what this is? This is them trying to get City to move, sir. City is the buyer, City or Chelsea. They know who will get you motivated. Oh, we don't want the big bad red machine, Manchester United, to take the best talent on the market. So this is all this is, bro. He's trying to move the two big heavies in England with the cash. And the only people with cash are the people that are funded by basically, you know, petro states, bro. It's like, it's either going to be City or Chelsea. There's no way I would love Haaland to come. I'd be all about it. Sorry, I'd wear the number nine, number seven, whatever he gets, but it ain't happening. Team viewer, bro. Team viewer. Come on, sir. Team viewer. No way.
Ain't happening. We're going to keep posting all summer on the transfer from Upper Tree, sir. We just had to get a little bit Ronaldo Haaland having a little fun here on the podcast. We know we're broke, sir. Super League all day, baby. let's jump into the fan questions. Thank you for all the cheeky banter on Twitter. Let's jump into it. Jamal Mota, quote, "Sirs, I couldn't watch the game, but I saw the halftime score and was afraid to look at the final tally, but damn, son, feels like we're going to beat that lack of finals form. Can't wait to lift the Hans and Franz Cup, sir." They should rename it the Hans and Franz Cup. What a theme song.
I can't wait to find out who actually put that lovely track together, sir. I wonder if there's a Hans or a Franz involved, but what a performance it was. Not a second half to miss. Go rewatch it. Unbelievable.
At the Alex Davis 33, quote, "Love watching our attack just pour it on like that, and it's about time Smalling put in a man of the match performance like that for Manchester United. Hashtag always at the wheel." Sorry, he's not at the wheel until he lifts that cup. Then he's at the wheel, right?
Dude, we'll play it all summer. We win that trophy. I still can't remember the name of the town in Poland. But if we win that trophy, sir, we're going to play it always at the wheel all summer.
What is the town?
Lansk.
Gdansk.
Gdansk. You know my brain's mush.
Sir, yeah, we played a little too much high school football. the head-bashing kind, not the tick-attack kind. At MH Hersey 5, quote, "It's great to see Ole celebrating goals and his genuine smile after a player is subbed after putting in a shift. He may not be Pep tactically, but you can't deny he's great at man management and the boys like him. Glory, glory, Man United. Hashtag Glazers out." Great point. Players love him. He has it right, you know, and it's like you hope that the players can go out and just like smoke Arsenal in the final. At Rolling Deep 1995, "Pay him whatever he wants and get Cavani to sign on that dotted line. Poor in the first half, absolutely ruthless in the second. Smashed them all around Old Trafford. Cavani and Bruno were excellent, and Pogba was magnificent. Scouse bastards next. Let's go."
So if you think about it, the move is we got plenty of money for contracts. They should just offer Pogba and Cavani like bumper deals, like stupid money. Because that's, dude, they're too important to lose at this point.
You said it, not me.
It's true. I mean, we were talking about Paul the other, like differently right before Paul the RB game. Here. Say again?
The thing is, we got Paul Pogba, unfortunately, is going to leave on a free, sir.
He is.
He's going to leave on a free.
He is.
Eddie is not going to be able to sell him because he's going to quote a stupid price and then hold it till the last day and then not sell him. And then we're going to get him for another year. And you're right. We need to bump Cavani, like whatever it takes to get Cavani to stay at Manchester United. I mean, there should be a team. Fly Alex out there. You know, you want to support us on Patreon? We're going to get a plane ticket. Alex will fly out there. He'll be outside Cavani's house with a boom box in the rain playing like, "Baby, stay. Don't leave me."
So I'll grill him up a good asada. I know how they like him down in Uruguay. I'll get whatever you need, bud. I'm the biggest Cavani fan.
Number one fan. This guy would be like, "Don't tell Cavani to listen to the pod when we signed him, though."
He doesn't listen. He doesn't listen. He's got better things to do.
At Jared KM 82, quote, game of the season, a team performance anchored by Pogba, Cavani, and Bruno. We showed resilience to walk back out on the pitch with our heads held high after that first half. Also, did anyone else notice they slowed down the beat on Hans and Franz during the walkout? Hashtag glory, glory, Man United.
I did not notice. Did you notice?
No, there must be a remix we don't know about, sir. There must be a remix. Apricot Mets, the mentality of this team feels different than when we lost the previous semifinals. Ole believes in them, and they believe in themselves. Full speed ahead. Let's win that trophy. Turn up the Hans and Franz. Hashtag Glazers out. At you, Boson, second half FC. At Ty Kircher, whoa, we're halfway there. What a second half. Absolutely amazing to watch. 45 minutes from a final with a four-goal lead. Cavani, Bruno, Pogba, absolutely boss today, flying right now. Let's keep it going against Scouser Sunday. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Woo! You love to see it.
Would there be anything better than us just rolling the Scousers, just like absolutely rolling them? A man can pray. A man can hope. Would love to see it.
At El Queso 1983, Cavani masterclass and pure domination. Our PE teacher and Bruno must have really fired up the squad at half. I mean, sir, it's like Bruno, he's the one, sir. If you actually look at it, the reason why we are as good as we are today, and it's crazy, is that we missed out on signing Haaland, and then we signed Bruno in like last minute Ed Woody fashion, and then Bruno's like the spark to ignite this fire at United that might keep Pogba there, might keep Cavani there, might turn into silverware. I mean, Bruno is it. He's it. It's like there's everything pre-Bruno, after Bruno, at least in this era.
Oh, he's a Cantona-esque signing. The amount of swagger and confidence that he threw into this team. I know when I win the league, this is 92-93, but he has that amount of impact. Like the mentality, like you said, the swag, the confidence this team has, and it rubs off on the other big boys, Cavani and Pogba. So if there's any chance of keeping those two around for the foreseeable future, I think Bruno is going to have a huge part to play in that.
Absolutely. We are the American Red Devils. That's the podcast. We are for fans by fans. You want to support the podcast, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have great blog content there. For fans by fans. Click on store. Glazers out. It's always on sale. $9.99 for a scarf and a shirt. Grab them while we have them, sir. We got them back. We're going to get a new order in. Glazers out in demand. You always have to rep the green and gold. Write a review on iTunes, sir. Give us our top downloads last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? It's an international board today, and we appreciate all of you. Number one, Dublin, Ireland. How you doing? Bethnal Green, United Kingdom. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Wigan, United Kingdom. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Melbourne, Australia. Sydney, Australia. Down under. Appreciate you Aussies listening in. San Diego, California. Coventry, UK, and last but not least, Plano, Texas. We appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. We love this team as much as you do. This is going to be a good end of the season, sir. I just feel it. Got to have silverware in it. It has to. Got to end with silverware.
It's a great end of the show. We're flying right now. Scouse Bastards. I love the matches. Like, boom, all eyes on Scouse Bastards. Let's go Sunday, baby. As always,
kicking a blue.